Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday. Jam-packed 11 o'clock hour. Roddy Nabalsi going to join us from UGASports.com coming up in about 25 minutes. Some news out of UGA today. Todd Monken being brought in by Kirby Smart to add to the offensive staff. So chat with him about that. Some Jamie Newman questions as well. And then the Wendy Zone at 11:40. As always, Wendy Adams will be in studio with us. We'll kick things off with an NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep warm. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision Furnace Tune-Up, another way they make you smile. One part of this time of year, Randy, with all of the college players now deciding to declare for the draft, and we've got a couple pretty big-name guys that just declared.
Because today is the last day.
Travis Etienne tells us he's going to the NFL.
I think Travis Etienne. So basically, I lost the list. They're waiting on, they're still waiting on Isaiah Simmons to declare, which I think a lot of us think he's going to declare, right?
What are we waiting for, Isaiah?
Yeah,
it's a top 10 pick
so
right there.
Him, I guess. Thad Moss, the tight end, see what he's going to do.
Oh, we don't know on him yet either.
Calavion Chasen, we know that he just, is that how you say his name?
I don't know, but that's what I was going to say. One of the fun parts of this time of year is guessing how you pronounce some people's names.
Come on, man.
And then finding out.
Apostrophes and Q's don't go with everything.
But Q's and apostrophes, in my opinion, when used together, that's the best way to go. Now, he doesn't have a Q in his name.
No, but he got an apostrophe.
He does. Calavion, I think, is how you say
it. Okay, fine. But, yeah, they're still waiting on some guys to go ahead and declare for this thing. Because, like I said, today is the last day for this to, you know, to go on.
Yeah, today. Today's the deadline.
Yeah.
I would not mind either one of those guys. Chasen, I'll take him in the first round for the Falcons. Pretty solid edge rusher. Maybe bolster the pass rush a little bit. I'll take Travis Etienne. Where is he going? Second round?
I don't know. That's
Third
a
round?
Great question.
He's faster than hell. I'll take I would love Travis Etienne on the Falcons team.
That's a great question. I think a lot of people are still, I mean, if you can get him, you get 1-2 round, that'd be awesome.
Brian tells me he's suspect in the passing game. Maybe that's some of what the scouts are saying.
What do you mean suspect in the passing game?
Like pass protection, you mean?
Pass
like,
protection?
Yeah, pass protection.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, you can learn that.
Sure.
You can be taught to be. And that's what most young backs do struggle with pass protection. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You can teach that.
That's just the knock on him.
Because
everything else, he's crazy fast. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Oh, great. See, that's what I thought he was talking about. I'm like, did y'all not see that Ohio State game?
Yeah. Well, he puts his foot in the ground and he's up the field. Just names to keep an eye on. We haven't gotten to mock draft season yet, Randy, but we're around the corner. We're getting there.
Yeah,
mock drafts.
What's that machine thing that everybody put their picks in? That it comes out and gives you the mock draft thing that everybody does.
Oh yeah, and then you do like the 7-round mock, and then you post it on Twitter, and then people tell you you're an idiot, or they tell you that they love you based on the guys that you pick.
That's stupid.
Well, the fun part about those is somehow the computer that generates it does a really bad job of drafting.
Yeah.
Because, like, last year I remember you do it with the Falcons, and the Falcons picked, 14th last season? They had 14th. They got 16th this year.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's taken Ed Oliver 14th overall last year. It's like, yeah, right. I mean, yeah, that'd be great, but he's not going to be there.
Ed was, like, number 13, wasn't he?
Was he?
No,
like 11 or something like that. Nine, he was earlier than that.
He was number 9.
Well, and then this year it's going to be Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons is not going to be there at 16.
You never know.
Or Derek Brown, he's not going to be there at 16.
Let's hope they run slow.
At the combine.
Yeah.
And then not when they get to the Falcons. Like, look, I don't know. There's going to be plenty of talent at 16. And the great thing, not really, but if you're trying to think about acquiring talent for the Falcons in the draft, is you got a lot of needs.
Yeah.
It's not good to have a lot of needs, but at least it seems to me, because we were talking about the NFL or the NBA draft before the show today, not a very deep NBA draft. Feels like a and every NFL draft is, but it feels like a really, really deep NFL draft.
It's, especially for wide receivers. If, yeah. If you need a wide out, man, they are in, they out there.
There's going to be five quarterbacks taken in the first round, probably.
I'm not surprised by that.
I'm not either, but that's great if you're a Falcons fan.
The thing with the
especially
Falcons,
if all five of them go before number 16, that means talent falls to you.
But the thing with the whole draft thing is with the Falcons is that they got, what, three of the first 60, something like that?
Yeah.
All three got to be starters.
Absolutely.
All three of them.
All three have to be starters. We were doing this earlier before the show as well, and we'll get back to it a little bit later, probably even post it on Twitter. But it's interesting with Jeff Teague being brought back to the Hawks, if you could grab a former Falcon and bring him back to make the team better right now, who's currently in the NFL, who would you grab? It's not an easy question because there's not that many former Falcons in the NFL on other teams right now doing much. But yeah, Tevin Coleman, okay, but do you really want Tevin Coleman back that much?
I mean, that much? I mean, he had his opportunity.
Yeah. Mohamed Sanu, Ben Garland. It's not a great argument for how well the Falcons have done in the draft. Because here's the thing, like, if you draft well enough, eventually you can't keep everybody.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
The Falcons have been able to keep everybody because it hasn't been hard decisions. When you're only keeping one guy per draft, which they've done over the last handful of years, that you're not drafting very well.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's why they find themselves partially in the situation that they find themselves in right now. You got to nail this draft, man.
Yeah.
What was it, 2015 or 2016 when Arthur Blank said,
we need four starters.
We need starters.
Yes, and he got all for four starters.
Well, man, you need four starters again this year. Let's get into some of what's going to happen this weekend in the championship games. I know we're going to pick them in the 12 o'clock hour and get into our keys to the game in the 12 o'clock hour as well. It's a big weekend for Andy Reid, man. He's been in a lot of big games. He's won a lot of games. He's won a lot of big games. He's also lost a lot of big games. He's also lost to the Titans a lot.
Your team's 1-8 record against the Titans. Is there a common thread through that?
Yeah, they're all different. Heck of a record, though, isn't it? Very good. I normally don't keep track of those things. I got to do better on my end. My players, they've won more games than I have against them. I'm just going to bank on them.
Damn, Timmy.
I like Andy Reid, man.
I do, too. A lot. A whole lot.
Now, I don't
man.
Trust him, but I like him.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing about the record is, it is what it is. It's been there. And a lot of times you're like, he's had leads late, you know, and they just slip away. And then a lot of them might be at home. I mean, there's a whole lot to what's going to happen Sunday afternoon, you know, when they play against the Titans. Because if any adversity happens, if anything bad happens, everybody is gonna be like, oh no. What I tell you about the Chiefs fans yesterday? Tight.
Yeah, what was
Grease it? Can't get a Grease BB. And now I just read that the airport shut down, so that's gonna be something. Oh my God, it's already happening to us. Just relax. Relax.
I don't think you can. It's hard to relax going into an AFC championship game, no matter what. I mean, even if you're the Patriots in 2013 or something like that, when you're winning them every single year, it's hard to relax going into a championship game. How come you buy into this Andy Reid record when oftentimes you don't buy into stuff like this?
Because I watched it happen too many times, Andy. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing.
Because it's not just a number.
It's just not a number. You watch how all the games like that play out, and you're like, damn, Andy.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I agree with what you said in the 10 o'clock hour about hopefully, from a Chiefs perspective, they're able to score a bunch of points early, get out to an early lead, and then it doesn't come down to that clock management. It doesn't come down to when you use your timeouts correctly. It doesn't come down to if you have a review left or you have to make a big decision in a clutch moment. You win the game by three touchdowns like they did last weekend, but you don't have to make any difficult decisions.
Exactly.
Well, difficult decisions late in the game. But if it does, and if it does come down to a touchdown or less in the fourth quarter, does that creep into Andy Reid's mind?
I'm sure it does.
I mean, the
because
Chiefs
you know,
fans, of
you
course.
Know, it's going to creep into everybody in Arrowhead.
Of course,
everybody, probably even some of the players, like, damn it, here we go again. Because right now, when you're playing in this game against Tennessee Titans and how they're coached by Mike Vrabel, you do not want to be in a late game, one possession game. You don't want to do it. That's why I said you got to get out early on the squad, because if you get up early, they can't and you can't establish the run game with him, because I mean we don't know what's Chris Jones' status with that calf or nothing. He didn't practice yesterday.
Doesn't seem good.
And if he can't play, it's gonna be hard. But this is the game where you got to, you know, you got to put that eighth man in the box. And the eighth man is gonna be cold. It's gonna be, you know, all that. Everybody say football weather, man. Anytime you play football, it's football weather. But what I'm saying is You gotta keep hitting Derrick Henry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because I look at it like this way.
Because he's going to hit you.
Because he's going to hit you. Exactly. So y'all might as well just go start hitting him.
How quickly do you become numb? Like, to what?
When it's that cold?
Okay. I thought you meant to Derrick Henry pounding you.
I mean, dude, in games like that, it don't take long before your skin is just numb and it hurts.
But so much of that is mental,
right?
Like, if you're a mentally tough person, like, I have to imagine versus other guys you played with.
Give me 3 hours.
Dealt with it fine.
I can do anything.
I'm out here. It sucks, whatever.
That's why because I always said this. Playing in Miami, they would always say, oh, we got the heat advantage. I'm like, damn, I'm hot too. You know, and then we would go to other cold places. I'm like, the L.A. cold?
Well, that's what's funny to me about that, too. I think that's totally overblown.
Yeah, they cold, too.
I think, if you're Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre and you've played in the snow 50 times, maybe that matters a little bit in the playoffs.
Man, please.
But most of those guys, they're not from Green Bay.
Yeah, but my thing is that...
Where's Tyreek Hill from? South Georgia?
Yeah, but my thing, Andy, is that...
You think he likes being cold?
I always tell people, everybody's cold. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I would never do, I would never wear sleeves, and I would never wear a jacket. All right, because I don't care what nobody said. You know those capes they put over them? It's so cold in them things.
It is?
Yeah, because they're just it's all mental, dude. The thing's cold.
Right. Also you have to like convey toughness. You don't want to be all bundled up looking like a little like a wimp on the sideline.
That's like linemen. Linemen should not wear sleeves unless you always wore sleeves. Don't ever wear sleeves. All right. All right, we had an issue with that one time with
Nick
Saban.
I'd be on the sideline. I'd be in the jacket. I'd be next to the heater.
Nick Saban took out jackets one time. He said, ain't nobody – no, you turn off the heated bench and everything.
Why?
Because cats were over there bundled up, and we were getting thrashed by Buffalo.
So if you're going to lose, you're going to be cold
so
and lose.
Nick's like, I'm going to take those damn jackets, because we had to go back up to New England the next week. I'm taking those jackets. Turn off the heated bench.
I bet he had a turtleneck on, though.
Bundled all up.
I bet he did.
Yeah, wrong with you. But, yeah, that was pretty funny.
All right, let's give away $1,000.
Give me that jacket.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Report. Report. Our signing bonus question for 11 o'clock is report, R-E-P-O-R-T. You have until 11:59 to text report to 72881 from your cell phone. Message data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. And for complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules.
All right. If they call you, answer. We want to give away a grand.
Please, man.
I don't know that we've given away $1,000 yet.
I like to see that email that we get when we give away money.
It makes me proud.
Pick up the phone.
It makes me very proud that our listeners got paid to listen to us. Antonio Brown doesn't have an agent anymore.
Not surprised.
Antonio Brown doesn't have a team to play for anymore. Antonio Brown doesn't have a lot of things that he used to have. Is this it, pretty much? Because I know we talked about it earlier in the week.
Well, it was conditionally, because Drew said if he gets help, you know, then he'll
what kind of help?
Like mental health, then he'll re-represent him. Let me tell you something, man.
That's smart for Drew Rosenhaus. He should get evaluated.
Drew was my agent for a long time. And for Drew to walk away from you, he's had enough.
Right.
He's had enough. He's done everything he can for him.
Do you blame Drew Rosenhaus?
No, I don't blame him. And the thing with AB is that, and I know that Hugh said this on the air, he talked to our guy down there, Rob. And Rob, if you know Rob, you love Rob. I mean, Rob is that dude, and he is just that dude.
What is Rob do?
He works with Drew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he works with
Drew.
Okay,
got it.
Yeah, he works with Drew, and Rob is that dude. And Rob basically said, can't do nothing with him. He don't listen to nobody. And he's not – why would I listen to anybody? Why would I listen to anybody right now? I mean, I'm doing what I want. Well, no, what he wants to do is play football. All right?
If I was Antonio Brown, I have a lot of reasons to listen to
somebody. But what I'm saying is, has he?
Right.
No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he thinks everybody's out to get him. You know, it's his fault. And I'm not saying everything is his fault, but a lot of it is. He doesn't have that awareness right now to just sit back and just chill.
So I said earlier in the week when we were talking about the video.
Put that damn phone down.
When he posted the video and he's yelling at his ex-girlfriend, his baby's mom in front of the babies, I still thought he would play in the NFL still. I don't know if I think that anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know you said you didn't that day. This Drew Rosenhaus thing seems like maybe the final straw. If the agent is walking away, that's a tough one. Hey, remember what Tyreek Hill said? If you don't remember, let's hear it again. It was funny.
Well, I feel like nobody in NFL can guard any of us. That's just the confidence that I got. No DB unit or any defense can guard any of us. So man-to-man is just easy for us to beat. And if you just allow us to just run through zones, it's even easier.
Yeah, he's right.
He's very fast.
Dude, that
and he's very difficult to guard.
That dude can roll, but he took that lick last week, though. He got crushed last week.
That was a nice hit.
Yeah, he ain't the biggest dude in the world, but dude, that little dude can fly. And then think about it is he just ain't fast, dude. He has great hands. Mm-hmm. He's explosive. He can leap. He can do so many things. So if you're Braves, what do you do with him? When do you double him? When do you double Kelsey? Because can't nobody out there guard Kelsey. I'm sorry.
A Joe Burrow's dad was on a Montreal sports radio station yesterday for some reason. They asked him about going to Cincinnati, and he said, quote, he's excited to even be in that conversation, and if the Bengals were to draft him, he's going to be happy.
Good for him.
So they're not doing the Andrew Luck, or no, they're not doing the Manning thing.
Okay, good for him, man. Yeah. Good for him,
it
dog.
Is good. I mean, it's the NFL. Yeah. I'd be happy to go to the NFL if I was him.
But him snitching, I ain't on that bandwagon. I was defending him.
Was that snitching?
No, it was not.
He was just kind of being dumb.
Just play dumb. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of people are snitching the last couple days.
I'm talking about ain't nothing safe no more, man. I ain't saying nothing out off air no more, man, because I don't even trust you no more, Andy. Because everybody's snitching.
Wow. That's tough. That's a tough one. Roddy DeBalsi is going to join us next. Georgia made a nice hire earlier this morning. Todd Monken coming to join the offensive staff. Talk to Roddy DeBalsi about what exactly that means, what exactly that does for Georgia's offense. Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams will join us in the Kia Studios. And an hour and 20 minutes away, Randy.
Fame. My bad, Wendy.
Oh, you got it. You're good.
I just disappoint sometimes.
Well, like, what's the time limit? You
got to
do it immediately?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, give it another shot.
Fame.
The Wendy Zone coming up in
20
minutes. There you go.
Okay.
An hour and 20 minutes away from Sports Jeopardy, in which Wendy will ask Randy and I sports trivia questions. But she needs them from you. You need to send them to Wendy either on Twitter or on Instagram. At Wendy Radio, send them in a direct message. Also include the answer, and don't be a creep. Those are the rules. That's all you got to do. We'll get to Sports Jeopardy coming up at 1240. Joining us right now, though, on the WadeFord.com hotline from UGASports.com to talk about the news out of Athens today is Roddy DeBalsi. Roddy, how are you?
Roddy!
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for jumping on with us on short notice. The news breaks right before we come on the air this morning at 10 a.m. that UGA is going to hire Todd Monken. What does this hire tell you?
Well, it tells me that Kirby Smart is not satisfied with the status quo. He obviously wants to, he had an opening, which he didn't have prior to the Mike Bobo situation. So he's got an opening on staff, and he could have more. You know, his coaches are highly coveted, and I know that other teams have been sniffing around some of his other coaches, but he had an opening, and he went looking and started speaking to Monken a few weeks ago and worked something out. Now, we don't know the full extent of this because all we were able to, when we broke the news, all we were able to confirm was that Monken was joining the staff. We were not able to confirm in what capacity. We do think it is at least offensive coordinator, maybe co-offensive coordinator. We had the news last night. We sat on it because we couldn't figure out exactly how we fit in. But this morning we just had to run it and say, look, we don't know how he's fitting in, but he is joining the staff. So, to your question, you know, what does it tell you? It tells me that Kirby Smart's ready to make a change, at least either in who's calling the plays or offensive philosophy, because Todd Monken, you know, that's a four-birds guy. He likes to spread teams out. He likes to throw the ball, which sets up the run, and brings in a lot of experience. So that tells me a lot, basically.
And right, that's
exactly what's going to happen.
Right, I'm going to go back to something you just said. You said the pass is set up the run. If that's the case, then Kirby is changing his whole philosophy. I mean, do you see that? I don't see something like that happening. And also, when you're talking about these four verts, is that going to fit Jamie Newman, who we presume is going to be the starter? Does that fit his skill set?
It does work really well with Jamie Newman. If you look out, many times he's thrown deep balls, and the accuracy Jamie Newman has on the deep passes, he's got great touch, great accuracy. And this is a guy who, you know, and Todd Monken, who likes to throw that deep ball. He likes to, you know, soften up that defense. And Kirby is going to call the plays that he wants. There's no question about it. You know, Monken can come in here with all these ideas, but Kirby's offense is going to be Kirby's offense.
Right.
But I think he's willing to make a change because he says, look, we can go ground and pound with these huge offensive linemen and, you know, great tailbacks. But at some point, you know, teams are stacking the box and they're taking that away from us. We have to have a more balanced game. And, you know, I remember in Kirby's first press conference, we kind of asked him, what is your offensive philosophy? You're a defensive guy. You know, are you going to be pro style? Are you going to be spread? And he said, look, we're going to be multiple. We are going to be well-balanced run pass. A few years later, he's running the ball 69% of the time, and it works when you have Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work when you don't have those two all-pro guys. So I think he's willing to change things up a little bit. And, Monken is the guy that would do that with a Jamie Newman, and teams, trying to cover he does all those great depth things, it's like, hey, we got a guy at 5 yards, we got a guy at 15, we got a guy at 30. And while you're trying to cover them all, I'm going to tuck and run, and good luck trying to catch me. So you got to like the potential for Georgia's offense is going forward.
Roddy, I don't know if we can answer this question definitively or not, but I think it's okay to speculate a little bit. Do you think that all of this would have happened? I think it's fair to say Jamie Newman probably wouldn't be here, but Monken and maybe a bit of an offensive philosophy shift. Had Jake Fromm decided to come back for a senior year, do you think Fromm leaving has some to do with this change?
No, because they were talking to Monken and such before Jake Fromm made up his mind. So if I'm not mistaken, Kirby was pointing out the fact that, hey, I'm bringing in someone new. If you want to stick around, we're going to have somebody here that you can work with. So, but now here's the thing, Monken, for all his success with Jamias Winston and Fitzpatrick, at Tampa Bay, he's not really known as a quarterback's coach. So I don't know that was appealing to Fromm or not. I think the Fromm situation is separate, and Monken was going to come in regardless of whether or not Fromm was going to head into the NFL.
Hey, and with that being said, and one of our favorite listeners, Miss Allie, she just she basically tweeted at me, and I was thinking the same thing. This kid, Chase Bryce, up at Clemson, decided to leave, and then he'll go in the portal. He'll have 2 years of eligibility. Do you think he could be an answer? And what does that do for the quarterbacks, Roddy, in 2021 that are we looking at? These two kids from the state of Georgia, both of them dual threat guys.
Well, that's one of the reasons we kind of broke the news this morning, because one of those guys, Brock Vandegrift, the 5-star number one rated quarterback in the nation, who I've coached against that little bugger. He's a heck of a quarterback. He torched my kids at Athens Christian. So Brock is actually visiting this weekend.
Oh.
So we were told that Todd Monken is in town, or will be in town to meet all those guys. So you try to get Art Monken in front of Brock Vandegrift and Caleb Williams out in D.C., the two 5-star quarterbacks that Georgia really, really wants. But with Chase Bryce, Georgia has not reached out to Chase Bryce yet. So they could. They definitely could do it. I'd spoken to Chase months ago and kind of teased him about the fact that at the end of the year he might be doing a graduate transfer situation. And he said, he was probably going to transfer, and sure enough, he did. I asked him if he had interest in Georgia. He said, if they need me, well, Georgia needs him. Or at least they have an opening right now. But as it stands, they have not reached out to him. So we'll see. But he does have 2 years. He's a heck of a quarterback. But Georgia, getting Jamie Newman in kind of fills that immediate need. And if they can land Brock Vandegrift or Caleb Williams, that sets them up really well for 2021 going forward.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, obviously writes about UGA sports for UGASports.com. You mentioned earlier, Roddy, that there could be more openings on Kirby's staff and that other programs have been sniffing around a little bit. Can you give us an idea of who else might be going someplace else?
No, I don't want to speculate on stuff like that publicly. When it's a situation where, they got a big recruiting over the weekend, you put it out there. I'm just saying that, You had Arkansas come after Sam Pittman. Coley's been, other schools have come after him multiple times, including this year, these guys get job offers. The NFL comes after them. There are a lot of coaches that have turned down job offers because they want to stick with Kirby. Others have taken it. And it's just like with, you saw this with LSU. You see it with Alabama every year. Clemson, guys come after their coaches. When you run a successful program and there are openings, other schools, other NFL teams come after your staffers, and it would not surprise me if, one or two get plucked away from Kirby Smart. And again, they're moving up. You look at what Sam Pittman did. Sam Pittman had no intention of leaving Athens, but when he gets the chance to be the head coach at Arkansas,
Of course.
I guarantee you the first guy packing his bags and packing up his kitchen was Kirby Smart. So, look, you got to take that. So it wouldn't surprise me to see more happen, but if they stand pat, then that's just a testament to Kirby's ability to recruit coaches.
And Roddy, you know, coming in, and there's going to be a lot. There is a lot of change. Not going to be. There's a lot of change. And I got to ask you about, you know, my favorite position, and hopefully they will be able to use these guys. And, you know, they went out and got a grad transfer tight end and a Trey McKitty from Florida State when I got the number one tight end. Roddy, are the tight ends going to catch some balls this year?
You know, Georgia never throws to the tight ends. What are you drinking out there, man? Come on. No, actually, this guy likes Todd Monken does throw tight ends. So, I mean, he likes that mismatch. It's so effective in the NFL. You know, he's seen it. He's been burned by it. You know, so I can definitely see it. When you have Trey McKitty coming in, the FSU grad transfer, now that guy's not much of a blocker. I should say it that way, but he's not known for his blocking, but he is known for his pass catching. He is a fantastic athlete. You know, kind of reminds me of the guy I'm talking to.
All right.
They're just a great athlete in a tight end body. You know, but this guy, like, you know, you go back to, like, that Florida game a few years ago when Georgia couldn't get anything done. Then they started feeding Isaac Nauta.
Yeah.
And showed what they can do. That's a Trey McKitty role right there. But, guys, Darnell Washington. I mean, every time I'm on with you, I start raving about some different guy, you know. Coach Donovan always talks about how it makes his mouth water to some of these players. There's a mouth-watering guy out there right now. It is Darnell Washington. He looks like a guy ready to go to the NFL Combine. He's a high school senior, you know. He's going to come in, go into family housing. He already has a daughter and a fiance. This guy is a grown man. He is a when you look at his skill set, he looks like he does look like a college kid playing amongst boys, you know, in high school. So. Darnell Washington is a nightmare mismatch. He's too fast for the linebackers and too big for the cornerback. So you got to like what he can do.
Roddy, we appreciate it, always. Thanks for all the great insight.
Appreciate you, Roddy. So, hold on. You're telling me.
I like it because I kiss up to you.
You're telling me that me and Ben aren't going to be upset anymore on – me and Ben Watson aren't going to be upset on Sundays no more, right?
No, you're going to be happy on
okay.
Sunday.
All right, that's all you need to know. Appreciate it, Roddy.
Thank you, Roddy.
Okay, guys.
Roddy DeBalsi there, UGASports.com. A lot of good info there.
Yeah.
One thing to add, I know we were talking earlier about Mark Schlabaugh and what he said to John Chuckery last night. He's got a little bit more information on the role of both Bunkin and of James Coley.
Yeah.
Sounds like James Coley is not going to be the offensive coordinator. He's going to have a new role
on
the coaching staff, and that Bunkin is going to be calling the plays next season for Georgia.
Yeah, but I mean, we know how close Kirby is in him and Coley.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the change maybe was needed. But you can't lose Coley.
No.
You can't lose Pittman and Coley. You can't lose both of them, man.
That's big recruiting.
That's big. So I don't know what the title is going to be. Is it going to be assistant head coach? I don't know. But at the same time.
It would almost have to be.
He would have to be assistant head coach.
No, but Matt Luke is assistant head coach.
Well, he can be the assistant to the assistant head coach.
Can you have multiple?
Yeah.
Assistant to the regional manager?
Why can't you?
Or assistant regional manager?
Who knows? Don't you want to dance? Say you want to dance. Don't you want to dance?
Did he say mouthwatering, guys?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Hey, join Hugh Douglas at 929 The Game at Steakums this Friday at Walmart located off of Howell Mill Road from 2 to 4 p.m. Atlanta. Alex Mack is going to be there signing autographs, and celebrity chef Kevin Rathbun will be cooking up their favorite Steakums and Philly. Damn, I want a steak. And Philly cheese steak. Plus raising money for local food banks as part of the Taste of the NFL's Kick Hunger Challenge.
All right, we'll come back. That sounds really good.
I got to get me some steak today.
We'll come back, and Wendy Adams is going to join us in studio for the Wendy Zone. So don't go anywhere. Sports
don't
Radio
92.9
The Game.
I'm Tanitra Batiste.
Welcome back to Andy and Randy, two knuckleheads that actually know what they're talking about on 92.9 The Game.
Don't you want to dance? Say you want to dance. Don't you want to dance?
Did he say mouthwatering, guys?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Right.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. Wendy Adams with us in the Kia Studios for the Wendy Zone. Before we get to the Wendy Zone, Wendy wants me to remind you, we are doing Sports Jeopardy an hour from now, and she needs questions.
Yes, you can DM me your questions, because Andy and Randy do have Twitter, and they can see the question and answers that you send me if you just send me a regular tweet.
So, and I will cheat.
direct yes, Andy has looked at the questions you have tweeted me, so I cannot use them. So DM me your questions at Wendy Radio, either on Twitter or on Instagram, and I can use them at 12:40 when we play Sports Jeopardy. Again, at Wendy Radio on either Twitter or Instagram, your Sports Jeopardy trivia questions.
I'm the Jose Altuve of Sports Jeopardy. Okay, Jose, maybe Altuve didn't
I wouldn't be surprised if you had somebody like in your ear giving you the right answer.
Yeah, it's Brian.
But you're just not quick enough with your name. Usually Randy gets his name out first.
That's my fatal flaw.
Yeah,
I say my name too slow.
You're quick. You're not quick on the draw.
It's been true my whole life.
But you take advantage of turnovers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, because Randy will say his name
and not even know the question.
Tennessee Titans. No.
We're talking about baseball, Randy, not football.
All right. What are we doing for the Wendy Zone?
This story was right up my alley because I saw it yesterday and I was like, this would be an interesting question. So Anthony Davis, now of the Los Angeles Lakers, is the new face of one particular flavor of Ruffles, and it's called lime and jalapeno. Mm-hmm. I haven't had the particular chip, but his face is on a Ruffles bag. So if you had to choose a snack food that your face would be on, you're the face of a certain snack food, what snack food would you want to be the face of? Because I'm guessing Anthony Davis probably gets unlimited Ruffles now.
Oh, yeah, you're getting paid for that, too. That's a great situation. Yeah. And I do prefer Ruffles over Lay's.
Yes.
Because Lay's are fine.
It depends on what mood I'm in, Andy.
Okay, what's a Lay's mood versus a Ruffles mood?
If I'm in a dip mood, it's got to be Ruffles.
Yeah, because you can't dip Lay's.
But if I'm in a chill, like downstairs in the basement, I like the Lay's.
Because they're softer.
They're real soft. They're real thin.
Yeah.
Because they break if you try to dip them in anything.
Absolutely.
You're like, dang it, there goes my entire chip in the
You couldn't
dip.
Even dip them in water. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that anyway, but you couldn't. They'd break.
It's a waste of a good
the
chip.
The Ruffle is a well-built chip.
And they have, like, some salt in the little crevices.
Do you ever put, like, hot sauce on your Ruffles?
Yep.
So great.
Never done that.
Oh, you pour it in the bag, and then you shake up the bag.
So great.
Game changer.
What hot sauce?
Don't matter.
Your favorite?
Frank's?
I put that on everything.
That blank on everything.
Yeah. I'd probably be some skins.
Pork rinds and hot sauce.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
That would be my face. I'd be on some skins.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, that'd
be
perfect.
I'd be on some skins.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably be like plantain chips or something.
I knew you were going to say
kale
that.
Kale chips.
I knew you were
going to
say
Andy
that.
Andy would be kale chips.
I thought you were going to say kale chips. Yeah.
I don't really like kale chips. They're okay.
They're pretty bad.
They're pretty bad.
We have some. They're pretty bad.
They taste like cardboard. They're not good. Like even me. I don't even like them.
But you eat them.
I know. Because I need a snack. I need a crunchy snack.
That's not a snack. That's just torture.
It is torture. It's disgusting. But I really do like plantain chips. And the ones that you could get at Trader Joe's, they're like $1.79. It's a nice big bag of them. It's a little one of those little skinny bags, too, so it fits right in the cup holder in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll chow down on some plantain chips all day long.
See, I chose Doritos because I saw this story yesterday, so I tweeted it out, and I was like, I'd definitely be Doritos because you could have all the flavors.
Would you want a specific flavor?
I would want the Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch
is the best. But there's like a new like spicy one, spicy Dorito that's really good.
The spicy, one in the purple bag?
Yes.
Oh, those are disgusting.
You don't like them?
Oh, they're terrible.
I haven't had them.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're not terrible.
Whenever we get the bag of chips, like we get the Doritos variety bag or whatever, that's always the last one. Like the kids hate it too.
Your opinion is wrong.
They
because
hate it.
They're delicious.
Dude, seriously. Last thing to be.
Man, if the kids won't eat it, then something's got to be.
Last thing in the bag. They don't ever eat it. Ever eat it.
They're just. Maybe they need to refine their palate.
You remember our Sonic thing that we saw, Wendy, the burrito with the Fritos in it?
Oh,
Wendy, it's about as big as this pencil. It's so little.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
Did you go get it?
I was thinking about it, but then I was like, because it was 99 cents, but I had to Google it, and they had a video of it. Yeah, it's about as big as my pen.
Fritos are an amazing chip.
They're good. You just gotta get over that initial whiff once you open the bag.
Because it smells like feet.
They leave like the little marks on the inside of your like lips, on the sides of
them. It will,
It'll cut it.
The salt.
Yeah, because it'll cut it.
Yeah, it will. You got to be careful with the Fritos.
Does that make you stop eating them?
No.
Well, not with the
Frito problem.
Pie.
You just keep eating it. Frito pie is amazing.
But then you're like, I immediately regret it because then your mouth is like.
I don't really like to deviate from the standard flavor, though. I like regular Ruffles. I don't know if I would like the Anthony Davis Ruffles. I like regular Fritos. I don't like chili cheese Fritos.
Oh, yeah, sour cream and cheddar like Brian
said.
You don't like chili cheese Fritos?
Not at all. I feel like those are the best
chili
ones.
Don't like them at all.
Yeah, them hot Cheetos.
I don't like hot Cheetos. Regular Cheetos.
Did you know there is a name for the dust of the Cheetos?
Cheeto dust.
No, there is a name because Cheetos just announced it because I follow all the food news.
What's it called?
Imagine that. It's called, it sounds awful. It's called Cheetle.
Cheadle?
C-H-E-E-T-L-E.
Like Don Cheadle.
Oh, cool.
That's disgusting.
So I know. It sounds so gross. Like,
yeah.
Like, hi, here's some, you have the Cheadle.
That's
on
my
your
problem with Cheetos and Doritos, though. You get fingertip.
But that's the
grime.
Best
that's
part.
That's the best part.
My least I hate that.
That's well, the donkulous.
Cool least favorite part.
On the Cool Ranch ones, and you
like
get
it.
To lick your fingers after that.
Yeah. Like that, and them hot Funyuns.
So you can tell me and Randy grew up real country. We grew up real country.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Or them Tom, or they got this, my boys from Washington County used to bring them up, dude. They were these, God dog, they were these real hot Lay's tater chips, but they was like the cheap kind, like they 79-cent bag, and we used to eat them all. They, God dog, it'll come to me.
What's the thing you're eating during the break? You could be on the cover of that.
Oh yeah, them skins, but they
pork
like
rinds?
The pork. No, but they the crackling.
Ooh, those ones are good.
That green thing.
Oh, the seaweed chips.
Yeah.
No, I don't want a damn seaweed chip.
Oh,
yeah.
Because no one's going to buy that. You want to be on the base of something cool.
I thought you were talking about that crackling. I mean, be trying not to crunch in the microphone when we come from break. It'd be so good.
Like, Andy, I think yours would be popular in, like, Northern California, all over the West Coast.
Yeah.
Your plantain
maybe
chips.
The Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, but I want to be cool, like, all over. So I'm taking Doritos because who doesn't like
I'll
Doritos?
Take regional popularity. I'll take any popularity, to be honest with you.
Regional popularity.
Yep, good enough for me.
Well, I haven't brought this up yet, but I wanted to. So, NBA star Andre Iguodala.
The Golden Flake hot chips.
The Golden Flake. Here, let's stick with food for a second.
If it has its own sound effect, you know gosh, Randy loves it.
Man.
We have such ADD in here. Because Golden Flake, I just had a new flavor. It's the dill pickle.
Oh, it's so nasty.
Oh, are you kidding?
No.
Yeah. You guys have different palates, it seems.
No, we kind of like the same things on.
Well, you love
items.
The type of Doritos that he thinks are disgusting and his kids don't like
them.
They
hate them.
You they're just all, don't like pickles.
I love pickles.
I'll stop
by the gas station, give me a pickle.
This guy Jorge tells me that chili and lime flavored plantain chips are going to change my life. I've been looking for a life change.
Okay.
So I'm going to try those out.
All right. Have fun with that.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Sounds great.
Maybe you can be the new face of that.
I would love to be the face of that. I'll endorse anything.
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 Hear that? Anything.
Anything. Great. All right, NBA star Andre Iguodala now making $17.1 million a season, which sounds great. We'd all love to make $17.1 million, but he shared this little piece of wisdom. He tweeted this quote, and I despise this quote. He said, quote, life would be simpler in a one-bedroom apartment with a Prius and some golf clubs. Money is overrated. When you're making $17.1 million and you're telling me money is overrated.
Yeah.
That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. Money is not overrated.
Rich people love to say stuff like that.
I would love to live in a one-bedroom apartment.
I just like when Kanye say that one classic line, not having money is, what did he say? Money, not having money is something. But
money isn't everything, not having it is?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you try it?
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala, go live in a one-bedroom apartment with a Prius. Take away all your money, put it aside, and live on someone who lives in a one-bedroom apartment's salary for an entire year. Let me see if you think money is overrated.
Yeah,
dude. Shut up.
Rich people love to talk about how money is. Dude, I would love to find out.
And there's a new calculator that I found today that'll calculate how much your average yearly salary an athlete can make. Like, so if how much time it takes them to make your yearly average salary. I'll tweet it out at Wendy Radio.
Andre Iguodala makes my annual salary in a nap. Takes a nap. Oh, I just made Andy's salary.
I think LeBron James was two-thirds a quarter for mine.
Lord.
I was like, I feel,
unbelievable.
Great.
Thanks, Wendy.
Oh, you're so welcome. Happy Friday.
Wendy will be back with us in an hour for Sports Jeopardy.
I'm going to get me some hot chips.
Send her questions, all right?
Some hot fries.
Plantain chips.
Oh, man.
Most important audio in the world coming
hot
up next.
Fries.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Golden Flake hot chips.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.